Finishing.com, the homepage of the finishing industry, presents the Metal Finishing Industry Update Podcast.
Season's greetings. This is Kate Miner and Ted Mooney with update number 13 for the week of December 25th, 2006. We begin this podcast on a sad note with the news of the passing of Ron Duncan, a regular contributor to Finishing.com. Now here's Ted to talk about the life and work of Ron Duncan.
Ronald Duncan, age 60, of Antioch, Tennessee, passed away December 15, 2006. He is survived by his wife, Gail, his daughter, Laurel Lee Duncan, his son, Douglas B. Duncan, and mother, Josephine Duncan. Ron was a graduate of Peabody Demonstration School and of Vanderbilt University. Ron was technical director of Palm International with more than 35 years of solving material problems in the petroleum and metal finishing industries. Formerly, Ron was director of research for Elnick, where he was in charge of electroless nickel formulation and materials research. He was a registered professional engineer and a certified corrosion specialist. As much as we in the Finishing.com community will miss Ron's helpful and wise contributions to our public forums, Ron was far more than that. Ron was an industry icon and perhaps the most published author on electroless nickel in the world. In recognition of that, we'd like to pass along an email from Leif Harland for the benefit of anybody who may not have seen it. Leif writes, "Ron's family thanks you for your response so far to this sad announcement. Even though the family knew Ron was incredibly smart and successful, I do not believe they had any idea how respected he was in our industry. We have gotten a number of very nice emails. If you would like to send a note, we will put them together in the next few weeks and present them to his wife and children. When asked, Ron had no specific wishes regarding flowers, nor does the family. Those looking for an alternative, it was suggested, may give to the American Cancer Society. Please send all email responses to leaf@palminc.com, and it will be forwarded to family. Thank you, Leif." Again, Leif's email address is leaf@palminc.com, leaf@palminc.com.
This week, we'd like to welcome a new advertiser to Finishing.com. Ecotech Inc., located in Pickering, Ontario, Canada, is a globally recognized manufacturer of water purification and chemical recovery systems. Ecotech provides proven technologies based on its ion exchange process, RicoFlow, that offers significant cost reduction and superior process efficiency. For more information on this company, please visit the Environmental Equipment and Services Directory on the Finishing.com homepage. We'd also like to mention Metal Finishing Technologies, Inc. of Forestville, Connecticut, who offer rack and barrel plating for cadmium, copper, electrolytic and electroless nickel, tin, and zinc on a wide variety of base metals, including zinc diecast and stainless steel. Metal Finishing Technologies also provides a wide array of aerospace services and is a FAA repair facility. We give special thanks to Metal Finishing Technologies, who was Finishing.com's very first supporting advertiser, taking their listing with us more than 11 and a half years ago in June 1995. And as always, we'd like to thank all of our supporting advertisers who make Finishing.com and this podcast possible.
Finishing industry news is scarce towards the end of December when no meetings are scheduled. So with our industry quiet, let's see what we can learn from the goings-on in other industries. The biggest manufacturing story in the news today was that 2006 marks the end of a century of dominance by General Motors, with Toyota to be the world's number one automaker starting in 2007. Speaking personally, after 40 years of buying only American cars, I bought a Toyota Highlander Hybrid last month, and there may be a lesson for metal finishers in these things. The Highlander Hybrid gets 50% better gas mileage than our Jeep. At today's premiums on hybrid engines, though, the gas savings will not earn me my money back in any reasonable period, so why buy one? Personally, I wanted a hybrid so I could keep driving an SUV and still feel okay about it, since we use no more gas than an average sedan. Also, I like to be an early adopter, and I feel that this software-oriented approach to fuel efficiency is the future. The Toyota Hybrid has an electric motor generator in addition to the gasoline engine. Except in an all-out panic stop, what you feel is braking is actually the generator is pumping energy back into the battery. The battery is a very limited capacity, unable to power the car alone for even a mile. But smart software reserves just enough battery power for emergency passing and spends the rest. taking some of the load off the gas engine or even turning it off periodically, resulting in great mileage ratings. Now imagine that next year Toyota figures out a software improvement that will improve the mileage by 1 mile per gallon. Suddenly, even though I have a still new car, I'm a potential customer to buy a software upgrade, and my dealer is in the business of selling software. Suppose Toyota develops a higher capacity battery, which in combination with a software upgrade will give me 2 or 3 miles per gallon improvement. Now I'm a potential customer for an expensive new traction battery, even though I have a perfectly workable battery already. Maybe someday in the future, you'll be making a trip to, say, Western Pennsylvania along Interstate 80, and your hybrid car will dial up the iTunes website and download a Trip Optimizer plugin. The nav system knows exactly where you are, and this Trip Optimizer snippet will tell the computer exactly how long each of the next uphills and downhills will be, allowing it to manage the battery reserve perfectly. Maybe you'll have the option to spend 99 cents on a download to save $2 of fuel. Here are the lessons I see for metal finishers from this. First, almost all Americans today have money that will be spent in going upscale rather than being practical. It may be spent on hybrids or iPods or restoring old cars or paintballing or car top carriers that cost $600 instead of $39, but it will be spent. So try hard to get yourself aligned in these upscale consumer businesses. Second, be bold. Toyota overtook GM for a reason. Try to find a new upcoming specialized finishing niche and go for it, especially if it involves a whole new approach to finishing. Third, just as Toyota may now have a new revenue stream of selling new improved batteries and software to customers who thought they were happy, is there any possibility that you can offer rework services? Can you, for example, capitalize on this Rojas stuff and sell a service of stripping cadmium or hexavalent chromates from valuable parts in your customer's inventory? This free advice was worth no more than what you paid for it, but if it provokes you to spend a few minutes thinking about your own situation, those few moments of your own thought may deliver new possibilities. Starting in January, this industry update gets busy again with many meetings scheduled. For the podcast itself, we are working on a special feature, Plating in Mexico, that will feature interviews with a wide range of Mexican plating shops. Depending on your position in the industry, this feature may either help you better understand your competition, help you sell equipment and processes to Mexican shops, or make you more comfortable working with Mexican shops for your finishing work. There is still time to join your peers at the NASF Southeast Regional Conference in Orlando, starting January 28th. I will be there with a literature table for finishing.com and hope to see you. Until next week, this is Ted Mooney thanking you for listening.